Service, and we'll pray as we dismiss here this evening. Let me remind you that Wednesday night we'll be finishing the book of Joshua. Joshua 24, we'll be closing out that book. We will have been gone through the first six books of the Bible. You that have been with me for a while, we began in Genesis some years ago, and now we're completing Joshua, about to move into the book of Judges. We are moving a little faster than what we used to, and so we should have a good, well-rounded knowledge of some things, Old Testament-wise, as we go through. And so Sunday nights, we've been dealing with New Testament books, and I hope to continue that process in the future, move from 1 Corinthians into another book, and learn the Word of God. And I wish I could remember everything I forgot. I probably would know more than what I know if I could just remember what I forgot. Such as names of churches and things, but the Bible sticks with me better than those kind of things, and I'm glad of that. I can live without remembering the name of a church, but can't live without knowing or remembering much of the Bible. Now, in chapter number 8, we talked about what is right and what is wrong for a Christian, and we found that the Christian is one who has been set at liberty and is not under bondage of the law. But nevertheless, the boundary that he doesn't want to cross is the boundary of his relationship with someone else that would cause them to stumble or would hinder them in their spiritual growth. And in chapter number 9, the Apostle Paul begins to make that issue relevant with himself and the liberty that is his as a preacher that he has not relied upon because he knew that it might cause a problem with his ministry in Corinth. And so we talked last time in the first part of chapter 9, verses 1 through 14, about paying the preacher. We just talked about paying the preacher. As we said before, missionaries can't mission and preachers can't preach and things just can't grow and can't happen if somebody doesn't support the effort, amen, of those individuals. What we're going to find in the Bible is that the Apostle Paul, when he went somewhere, and he did evangelize, and he preached, and these churches were established, that he never did ask them for anything. He never said, look, you need to support me, or you need to take care of me. He always worked with his hands. He never was that presumptuous, because he did not want to cause any hindrance or any question about the ministry. However, we find in the New Testament that many times after he left an area in which he had established a church, that those churches would then begin to support him as he went about in these other places. So we're going to find that as he was in Corinth, those of Thessalonica and in Macedonia were supporting him financially in the effort there. And so Paul's saying, I was perfectly at liberty to demand that you pay me or support me while I'm here ministering to you. But we're going to find out tonight that he did not do that. And we're going to be talking about the reason that he did not do that. It was for the sake of the gospel. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight, for the sake of the gospel. In verse 15, he said, but I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. Now, he's not talking about glorying in himself or boasting in himself, but he's talking about the glory that is his, having been called and chosen to be a preacher of the gospel. He's saying it'd be better that he die than he allow anything to take away that glory that he has become a partaker of. For I do this thing willingly. If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, here he's talking about that liberty that he's already mentioned previously, yet I have made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, speaking of Gentiles, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And so in verse 23, he tells us very plainly why he has forbear receiving payment or support from the people at Corinth, and that he has preached the gospel and spread the message without charge. He says so that he might be a partaker with them and for the gospel's sake. And so as we read these verses, we find that Paul used the word gospel 9 times. And we find revealed here just what the gospel meant to the Apostle Paul and the attitude that he had toward it and the importance of it in his life. Now, the gospel, simply put, is the saving message of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ and His Word. And so as we study this passage, we're going to see what that message meant to Paul in his life. And he reveals here his attitude toward his ministry and the gospel. And we emphasize, as he does here, that what he does it for the gospel's sake. He had every right to demand certain things as an apostle, but he did not do that. Why? For the gospel's sake, lest there be any hindrance to his opportunities and avenues for reaching all men for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want us to note three attitudes or 3 points of his attitude toward the gospel in these verses. First of all, his attitude toward preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. Now, there are 2 words that Paul used here that are translated in our English Bible to preach. In verse number 14, he uses a word that means to proclaim. To proclaim. And so, preaching is a proclamation of the Word of God. Preaching is bringing people to an understanding, if you will, of the Word of God. In verses 16 and 18, the Apostle Paul used a word that means to announce good news. Preaching is not only bringing people to an understanding of the Word of God, but preaching is the announcement to man of the way to God. And so the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of good news, begins when we preach to the lost that there's a way to God. There's a way for a lost and unholy man and unrighteous man to be made acceptable in the sight of holy and righteous God. That's the good news. There is a way to God. But it also involves bringing people to an understanding of the Word of God. And so the Apostle Paul's attitude toward preaching is simply this. I came to Corinth to preach in order that folks might believe and folks might be saved when I point them toward God and describe the way to God through Jesus Christ. But not only that, I have come to proclaim the Word of God in a way that folks might understand the Word of God. And many times we find him quoting the Old Testament to back up the theology that he's presenting to people in order to try to get them to understand the Word of God. Now, dear friend, we need to read the Word of God, but we also need to understand the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, writing Timothy, said, Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Dear friend, he's saying this. Don't just read the Word of God, but read it with an anticipation and an eye to understand what you are reading. Rightly dividing the Bible and understanding who God's talking to and why God is saying what He is saying. Amen. We need to understand the Bible, and that's what preaching is. It's not only, my friend, to save the lost, but it is also a proclamation of the Word of God that folks might understand it. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, the Apostle Paul dealt very simply with this word gospel and what it meant. In verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 15, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I declared unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And so what Paul is saying is that the gospel involves the presentation of the work of Christ that has opened the way to God, the avenue to God, and that preaching after that point in time focuses upon the understanding of all the facets and doctrines that stem from and find their foundation in the offering and the sacrifice of Christ. And so tonight, we are preaching tonight not to talk to you about the way to God, but we're proclaiming the Word of God tonight in order to maybe help you understand the Word of God. And so Paul's talking about his ministry of preaching the gospel. Now in the first part of verse number 16, he says that he was chosen to preach the gospel. Verse 16, the first part, he said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." He said, listen, I don't have anything to brag about as a preacher of the gospel of myself or concerning myself, because this is not a vocation that I have chosen. Now, I have been chosen by God. I didn't do the choosing. God did the choosing. And so I don't have anything to boast of. It is all of God. He wasn't a preacher because he deserved to be, he says, or that he met some ministerial qualification. The only reason that he was a preacher of the gospel was because God has chosen him to be a preacher of the gospel. And so, dear friend, this issue had nothing to do with merit, whether he deserved to be supported, or whether he had chosen this for benefit, or whatever, to prosper by. He said, listen, you got to understand, this is not my business, this is God's business, and he chose me to preach the gospel. But not only that, he said in that same verse that he was compelled to preach the gospel. Notice that word, necessity. That word necessity speaks of being constrained or compelled to do something. Dear friend, not only was he chosen, but he said, listen, there is a constraining force that brings me to a position and a place to realize that I do not have a choice in this issue. I must preach the gospel. That is what God has called me to do. It is a necessity, amen. Would to God that we'd realize that. That, dear friend, it's necessary for us not only to understand the Bible, but also for us to preach the Bible and to speak the Bible. But then he said also that he was committed to preaching the Bible. Look at the last part of verse 16. "Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." Paul realized that there were consequences that he was going to have to face if he did not preach the gospel that God had called him to preach. That word woe that you see there is the word that carries with it painful or tragic results. He realized that if he didn't do what God called him to do in preaching the gospel, that there would be many people who would go to hell because he refused to do what God had called him to do. But not only that, but there would be tragic results also in his own life. He says in verse 17 that a dispensation of the gospel had been committed unto him. Now that expression describes somebody who has been given manage over a house, a household, if you will. Every owner of a house, the master of a house, had a steward. And the master of the house, he didn't take care of all this and that and the other, and organization. He just told that steward what he wanted done, and that steward saw that it was done. He did the organizing. He did all of the preparations and all of the things that needed to be done that the master's will might be done. And so that responsibility was laid upon that steward, and that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying that a stewardship of the gospel has been committed unto me, it has been entrusted unto me, and woe be unto me if I do not preach the gospel. And so what he's saying simply is this, that support and money is absolutely irrelevant. He says, I don't do it because of that. He said, I've got reward if I preach the gospel willingly. And it's coming one day, amen. But he said, listen, I don't have to be constrained by man to do it. He said, I've got a compulsion from God. I've got a calling from God. And I am committed to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was his responsibility, amen. So what he's simply saying is this, hey, I want you to know, it hadn't been the best of times when I was y'all at Corinth, but I was determined that I was going to preach the gospel, amen. He said in the first part of 1 Corinthians, in this book we began to study, he said, I determined ahead of time, whenever I come unto you, I was not going to preach anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was it. That was his message, amen. He was determined and committed unto preaching. So Paul had an attitude toward the gospel that, dear friend, would not be restrained, and it would not be hindered in any way. If he had to work, if he had to go out and labor in order for him to have something to eat or to have a place to stay, he wasn't going to let that stop him. Now, that stopped most of us, won't it? Amen. I agree. And me too. But, dear friend, he wasn't like that. Now, you think about that. A man that didn't have automobiles, because there weren't none, a man that had no guarantees of anything except from God, going all through the Middle Eastern area of Asia Minor, and the Bible tells us that he went to Spain, and tradition tells us he even went to Great Britain, not knowing where his next meal was come from, where he's going to stay. He'd just go in there and go to preaching, amen. And he said, listen, I'm absolutely committed. I am compelled, and I am chosen to preach the gospel. So it doesn't bother me that you don't support me, he said. I'm just going to do it anyway because that's what God has called me to do. But then we see in verses 18 and 19 how he feels about protecting the gospel. Protecting the gospel. Verse 18, what is my reward then? I mean, he ain't doing it for money. Well, I don't understand people. They get into preaching for money. They got some kind of a racket going. I mean, because, you know, number one, you should never get into it for money. But number two, most churches are small and there ain't a lot of money in it. So if you're in it for that, you're in it for the wrong reason. Now, there are a lot of rackets going on. Have been for ages. Gulf Coast used to be 4 years ago of a certain crowd of racketeers. I never will forget one day I was going through some old stuff that Ann's mama had there, papers, because she'd always... she had a heart for God, and bless her heart, she'd send money to anybody she thought was a missionary or anything like that. And some of them, sadly, were outlaws. But she did it with the right intent, not knowing anything about them, except believing their word. But I found in amongst her stuff some of them outlaws from the Mississippi Gulf Coast that had been through there. And she had sent them some money, and they sent her thing, of course, asking for more money. That's always an indication of who's in it for the money. They keep asking for more money. More money from those things. Paul said, listen, I'm not doing it for that. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, free, he says, that I abuse not my power or authority in the gospel. For though I be free, in other words, he didn't have to be no servant, nobody. He was an apostle of Christ, called of God. Therefore, he had authority as a leader over the churches of God. But he said, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I may gain the more. Paul saying that he had forfeited his rights to these Corinthians, as far as these Corinthian believers were concerned, in order that he might preserve and protect the integrity of the gospel message that he was preaching. And so, we see here in verses 18 and 19 the fear of Paul. He was afraid of his motives being questioned. There were those who said he was not an apostle because he received support from churches. There were those that said he was not an apostle because he didn't receive support from certain people. And so, even as it is with us today, no matter which way he went, he always had people bringing accusations and slanders against him. But his great fear was that something was going to be said about him that would hinder him from reaching somebody for Christ. In other words, in ruining his reputation by questioning his integrity and his motives. Why are you preaching, Paul? What is your reward? Well, he made it very plain in verse 18 there. Amen. His reward was preaching the gospel of God freely that it be not hindered, and in people responding to that gospel call. Now, if you look in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, the Apostle Paul will reveal here what he did when he was in Thessalonica and presenting the gospel to those who lived there. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, listen to what he says. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. That word travail means work. For laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. You see what he said? When he was in Thessalonica, he worked night and day that he would not be chargeable to any man. In other words, that nobody would have to pay him or give him anything in his preaching there. Why? He wanted to protect the integrity of the gospel message and the man that was doing the preaching of it. Now, as I told you before, when he left Thessalonica and when he left Philippi and a lot of these other places, they began to support him, saying, hey, listen, Paul needs to go over here and preach to these people. Paul needs to go over here and preach to those people. And he can do it a whole lot better if he's got some folks supporting him and he ain't got to get out and work day and night. But that's exactly what he said he did. Amen. Now, if you'll turn over to 2 Thessalonians, the next book, chapter number 3, he reminds him of that once again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 8, or verse 7, he says, for yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power or authority, he says, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. Why? What's he saying? His fear was that his motives would be questioned and he would be accused of doing what he did for money. So he said, listen, as an apostle, I had the authority to say, listen now, I've got this business to take care of here and establishing and teaching and preaching in this church, and now you need to take care of me. Well, he said, I could have said that, but I did not do it. I stayed away from that power and authority that I had. Why? He said, in order that I might be an example unto you. He feared his motives being questioned, and he feared his message being quenched. He did not want that to happen. In the book of Acts chapter 18, we find the Apostle Paul talking there to the people of Ephesus in the church there. Acts 18. Acts 20 and verse 33. Acts chapter 20 and verse 33, listen to what Paul said when he was in Ephesus. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. And so it's very plain as we study this book of 1 Corinthians and the other books of the New Testament that Paul never ever went anywhere demanding money, though that was his authority and right to do so. He never did what he did in order that he might benefit personally or financially or any other way for preaching the gospel, because he feared that his motives would be questioned and that the message would thus be quenched, and he would lose that opportunity and availability that he had to reach people for Jesus Christ. He was afraid that it would hinder him in reaching other people. Man comes on the scene, first thing he asks for is money, and dear friend, folks automatically put up a guard, don't they? And he did not want that to happen. And so he gave up his rights. That's what he's saying. He gave up his rights willingly in order that he might protect and preach the gospel effectively. I don't know how many of you know it or not, but J.C. Penney was a godly man. He was a real Christian man. His stores today are not like they were whenever he established them or intended them to be. But he was a devout Christian, and he was very conscious of his reputation. And so at a social function one time, he was drinking some ginger ale, because of course he didn't drink. But in the course of drinking this ginger ale, someone mistakenly reported that he was drinking a cocktail. Because, you know, ginger ale has a rusty color to it. I guess you'd say that's the way I would describe it. And so, here's what J.C. Penney said. He said, "I'm sure that a reputation which I value has been endangered by my drinking ginger ale. Hereafter, it will be plain water or tomato juice for me." Well, now, you know well as I do, you can't please everybody. I mean, if he drank tomato juice, somebody might say it's a Bloody Mary or something. I know that. But what we see in this old saint of God who's dead and gone to his reward is an individual that so valued that his reputation, that if he drinking some beverage brought question to his reputation, then he had rather avoid that beverage that he enjoyed and drink something else to protect his reputation. Now, that's the way the Apostle Paul was. Anything wrong with drinking ginger ale? Well, no, there was nothing wrong with ginger ale. But if it endangered his reputation, he wasn't going to do it. There was anything wrong with people supporting and giving Paul money as a result of the ministry that he extended unto them? Absolutely not. But Paul said, if it's going to cause any question about my character or the message that I preach, then I am going to forestall that privilege and that right which is mine in order that I might reach as many people as I can in an effective way. You see, dear friend, it's a sad thing, but there are a lot of people in hell tonight because of people that are going to hell. That's a sad thing. That's a sad thing because we value our reputation so little. I want to tell you, it's difficult enough to maintain a decent reputation and not have the world lie about you as it is. And so we certainly do not need to do things that are going to bring us into question if we don't have to, amen. That's what Paul's saying. And so we see the fear of Paul, and then we see the feelings of Paul, how serious he was about protecting this gospel. And here's what he said. He said, "I'd rather die." That's what he said back in verse 6. "I'd just rather die than be a hindrance to the gospel. I'd rather die than hinder my ability to preach." In Paul's mind, there was nothing worse than that happening and him not being able to reach others with the gospel. Now, in the next to the last book of the Bible, the little book of Jude, we find that he kind of felt the same way as he sat down to write some saints of God. He said, I was going to write y'all about the common salvation. Now, that common word, common, don't mean ordinary. It means shared. Something we have in common. We've all been saved by the same gospel. Isn't that right? See, I don't have anything in common with Islam because they don't have anything for Jesus as far as being Savior, amen. And so we're not common. But he said, listen, I was going to sit down and write to you about the common salvation. Verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Here's what he's saying, and he talks about it later in the epistle, that there are individuals who have come into the church and have come out of the church, have claimed to be a part of the church, called of God, sent of God, who certainly are not a part of us, and they have distorted, they have diluted, and they have destroyed the gospel that we preach. So I'm writing unto you, he says, to tell you that you need to protect the gospel, that you need to preach it in its entirety and without compromise. And that's the way Paul felt. And he said, if there's anything about my life or anything that I do that will hinder the integrity and the value of that message or keep me from being able to preach it to somebody, then he said, I'm going to change some things. And I don't want anybody to even think about supporting me, and I won't even bring it up. Amen. But obviously it has become an issue at Corinth in this second letter. Amen. Because now they had leaders, they had teachers there, and I'm persuaded that they still were not doing the right thing. And so we see his attitude toward preaching the gospel and protecting the gospel, and then we see his attitude in verses 20 through 23 about presenting the gospel. Beginning in verse 19, the Apostle Paul describes his behavior so that he might be able to present this gospel. And that's what he was continually doing. Look at what he said. Under the Jew, I became as a Jew. Why? That I might gain the Jews. Those that were under the law, he says, I came unto them as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, the Jew and Gentiles, I came to them, he says, as a Gentile, that I might gain them without the law. And to the weak, I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to men, that I might by all means save some. So here is his way of presenting the gospel. You know, there's a lot of ways that you can present the gospel. And the way that you present the gospel oftentimes will have an effect on the effectiveness of the gospel message that you preach. And so he says, listen, this is the way I practice my ministry. This is the way that I practice my ministry. Whenever I am trying to reach a Jew, he says, I identify with a Jew. Now, a lot of people think what Paul's saying here is that you just be whatever the crowd is you're hanging around with. And that's not at all what he's saying. He is not saying, now to win the drunk, I'm going to go down here and drink with him. That is not what he's saying. He's saying, when I'm trying to reach a Jew with the gospel of Christ, he being a Jew, he's saying, I knew how to identify with that Jew because I know the religion and the faith of the Jews. I know the Old Testament. And so many times in the book of the Acts, you see him observing Jewish festivals and feasts and things because he's in the midst of the Jews and he's trying to reach some of the Jews with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, whenever I'm with the Gentiles, those that are without the law, he says, then I don't meet them upon the basis of their religious history as being a Jew, but rather I become as a Gentile. You'll remember in the book of Galatians, he talks about how he had came and many had been saved by grace in Galatia there, and the church had been established and founded. And Peter came and joined him there, and he was there with the rest of the crowd acting like everybody else. But then all of a sudden some Jewish brethren came along, and whenever they showed up, Peter separated himself from the Gentiles. You remember that? And Paul said, I rebuked him openly because he ought not have done it. That's what he said, amen. See, Peter hadn't got a hold of that yet. He did later on. Paul said, listen, when I'm with the Gentiles, I identify with the Gentiles, and I deal with him on his level in order that I might reach him. Dear friend, we never reach anybody, and this is part of the problem of Christians, by looking down on somebody else. They don't anybody want to hear anything, a self-righteous, hobnobbing, nose pointed in the air, self-righteous Christian. They're not going to listen to you for 1 minute. And I know that, and I've seen that, amen. You know how you're going to reach somebody? You get down there where they're at. Not participating in their sin. That ain't what Paul's saying. But you identify with them. And then you present the gospel to them. Amen. Amen. You know the best person to reach, an alcoholic or a drunk? Somebody who was one, got saved. You don't go in there and condemn them, put them down, look down on them. But boy, you come down to their level and you say, you know what? Brother, I was right where you're at. There was a time whenever all I looked forward to was getting my neck strained. But man, let me tell you something. God saved me, and God can take that desire away from you. God can deliver you from that. Because I want to tell you, He's the way, the truth, and the life. You see, you come down, you identify with Him. We're too busy being up on our high and lofty pedestals and looking down on the rest of the world like a Pharisee, amen. We'll never reach anybody like that. Paul's saying, I practice my religion on the level that is necessary that the gospel message might be received by somebody and thereby I might win them or save some. He's not saying he had the ability to save any, but he could see them saved through the preaching of the gospel. And then he said, to the weak, I become weak. Now that word literally comes from the word to be sick or diseased. And that's just what I was talking about. You come down and you meet those people where they're at. You don't demand they come up where you're at. You get down there and you meet them where they are in order that they might receive the gospel. Then when they get saved, bless God, you can grab them and you can pull them up to a higher level. Amen. Through the proclamation of understanding and teaching of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. So, dear friends, we're going to reach anybody. That's the way we've got to do it. And that's got to be the practice of our faith and the practice of our gospel message. Hudson Taylor was a great missionary to China. And when he first went to China, as he observed the missionaries that were already there and looked at the Chinese people, he began to note a few things and he learned something. And shortly after he got there, he began to dress like the Chinese people and he wore his hair like the Chinese people wore their hair. You know what Hudson Taylor did? He became Chinese. Now, there's nothing wrong with being Chinese, is there? No. What did he do? He identified with the people that he came to minister to is what he did. Amen. And he didn't put himself above them, being of another nationality or anything, but he literally became Chinese in order he could approach them on their level and identify with them. And therefore, he could identify with their needs and focus the gospel message on their needs of being saved. Amen. And he became one of the greatest Chinese missionaries there ever was, led in the great revivals of China. In the state. Hard to believe China was once like that, ain't it? But it sure was, brother and sister. Paul didn't do anything to violate any scriptural principles in the things that he did. His motive, the motive of all his behavior, was to win folks to Christ. That was it. And that's why he withstood this liberty that was his. And what was the point of his ministry? We found that in verse number 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. You might say that Paul knew that he was going to heaven. And he did. And knowing that, he wanted everybody else to go with him too. That's what it means when he said that he might be a partaker with them. You see, he knew Christ and he wanted everybody else to know Christ too. And in order that he might do that in the day in which we live, dear friend, he denied all of his rights and all of the things that he deserved. And he came down to the working man's level and he worked with his hands and preached the gospel to them. They got saved and the churches were established in Corinth, amen, and all around Asia and Europe. Later, many of those began to support him, amen. So he's saying, listen, don't think because I didn't demand that you pay me anything when I was there with you that it is not scriptural and it is not right for you to support your ministers that you have there that are teaching. Because remember, they were divided about those. We found that out in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, didn't we? Amen. And so you see, there are times whenever we don't do things that are right because there might be something about them at a certain circumstance situation that might cause a hindrance to the gospel message that we would preach. Paul says, listen, I'm not preaching for earthly reward. I'm preaching for heavenly reward. And there's nothing wrong. And he's teaching that now, that you should support the ministers that minister unto you, he's saying here. But he's saying, listen, just because I didn't doesn't mean that I'm hypocritical about it or that I was trying to pull anything. I want you to understand I did it so that the gospel would not be hindered in any way. That my motives wouldn't be questioned and my message wouldn't be quenched in any fashion whatsoever in order that I might reach folks with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, dear friend, many of the things that we do in our lives, and of course, certainly the things that we do as a church, should simply be based upon the fact that we do it for the gospel's sake. Dear friend, that's why we exist. We are people who have been saved by a message, and we have a message to preach to this world. And we're in a gospel-saturated nation. Because of that and because of its rejection, we've been ridiculed and put down and many things like that. But dear friend, what you do in the face of that is just simply keep preaching the gospel message. Simply keep standing for the message, believing the message, and living for the message. Amen. And believe me, in due time, it will be validated. So our lives should be what they are for the sake of the gospel, to preach it, to protect it, and to present it to this world. Amen. Amen.